Inspiration, communication, critical thinking, creativity. This is AISD Tech Talk.
Hello and welcome to episode number 4 of AISD Tech Talk. My name is Brandon. I'm here with my good buddy Paul. Paul, how are you doing?
I am fantastic.
That's wonderful news. We're just getting off of Easter. Did you have a good Easter?
Of course, any vacation's good.
That is wonderful. That is great news.
Yes.
Okay. In the studio today, we have a special guest, Christy Kate.
Hey.
From Region 14, the best region ever?
Of course.
Okay.
The only region.
Any other region that you're in direct competition with that you want to see go down?
No.
Okay.
We're already at the top.
Okay. Very nice. Very nice. We've invited her to come in here today just to talk with us about new things going on at Region 14. We were there 2 weeks. No, 2 weeks ago. Was it 2 weeks ago already? 1 week. No, 2 weeks. Whoa.
It's been a while.
Time flies.
Yeah.
We got a chance to play with some cool toys and see some cool stuff that they're doing over there. Christy, how are you doing today?
I am great.
That is wonderful.
For a Monday, it's a pretty good day.
Oh, yeah, it is. Oh, man. That just
gonna
dawned
be a long
on
week.
Me. Yeah. Those weeks right after a vacation are always lengthy.
Got to get back into the groove.
Yeah, especially when last week for me was a one-day week.
Oh, yeah.
I went to ASCD in Boston.
In Boston, then, that's right.
You know, I had my training on Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you get a standing ovation after your talk?
Yeah, they were ready for me to leave.
Oh, wow, that's amazing. Wait, for you to leave Boston?
Yeah,
it was oh, okay. That bad. Okay. Well, that's Uh-oh. Good, I guess.
No, it was good.
So, Christy, what is new at Region 14? While we were there, we did see one thing that was pretty cool, which is y'all's new makerspace. Is that what you're kind of pushing right now or what you want people to know about?
We are very enthused about it. We have an old building that many people may have driven by, that service center out on Highway 351 several times and seen what used to be the old distance learning building.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was abandoned and left to be an old storage rundown facility for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And we were very privileged and fortunate that the powers that be said, you know what? What can we do with that to help further learning and education?
Mm-hmm.
And so, as most of you probably are aware, right now the maker culture inside K-12, higher ed, and just the industry in general has become quite popular.
Mm-hmm.
Getting back to expressing some of the things I think you guys have talked about before with the 4 C's, some critical thinking, some creativity, time to collaborate with other people. And so Region 14 began to brainstorm several years ago, actually. I got to visit with the Stanford University Design School. And
wow.
So to think about what are the possibilities that could help our districts.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as many of you may know, in 2013, ACU opened up their Maker Lab. And so we have had several times when we've taken teachers there and taken students there and worked with them and discussed how can we help K-12 get to a point where we have kids who can go further than their K-12 environment and be mm-hmm. able to expand upon those creative aspects. And so the idea behind it was born.
So was it kind of, I know with a lot of some smaller schools, sometimes the funding just isn't there to get some of this equipment. So you guys have some pretty serious stuff. What all do you have in there?
Well, we decided that was one of the things we took into consideration. What are some things that our districts have asked for or need help with that we could not only provide for them in an environment that our teachers can experience as they go through professional development,
mm-hmm.
but also create a mobile cart concept that we can take out to our districts? And so we have a recording setup, much like this one. We can do podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
We also have green screen, and we have a one-button studio like ACU has. That makes it really easy to take raw footage.
So that's the kind of thing where you just go in there with a thumb drive, stick it in, and then hit record, and it all just happens and gets dumped on that drive.
Yes.
Okay.
And then they can leave and go back and edit that at will.
Okay.
We have a portable green screen set up to take with us when we go out to the districts,
mm-hmm.
but the one button part the districts do when they come to us.
Okay.
We also have a 3D printing room. We have had our MakerBot 3D printer probably for close to 4 years now. We have added a Form Labs, which prints from resin as opposed to the filament.
Okay.
And we just are unboxing today, drum roll,
oh.
a Glowforge, which will allow our teachers and students to do engraving as well as laser cutting as well as printing and that type of thing. And so we're really excited to be able to get that rolling and see what we can do to add to our mix in that room.
Wow. Now, is the resin one it's more robust, right? It's like an actual, which one is the one?
The quality of the resin one is better.
Okay.
The MakerBot looks like a really thick fishing line. It's plastic filament. It heats to about 215 degrees Celsius and it melts it into the print.
Okay.
The resin is a liquid resin that light rays harden it.
Oh, wow.
Into the actual file.
Very futuristic.
Yeah.
How come we don't have one of those?
Maybe you will. But you can come use ours at any time. You, Abilene ISD, are part of Region 14.
So you're wanting people to be aware that this is stuff for them to use. It's not just a place where they can go and, I mean, it is a place where they can go check stuff out. But if they want their kids to use it, they can bus kids in, or you can go to the schools.
We have a mini little bitty, like a MakerBot. It does the same type as a MakerBot print that we can take with us, but we do let people send us files and we print for them and take them to the schools.
Oh, wow. What schools up to this point have taken advantage of this mobile?
Well, we opened it in February as far as launching it to all of our administrators. They got to come and tour it. We've had a couple of workshops where teachers have gotten to go through it.
Still
and then
pretty
we've
new.
Had Merkel has had fourth and fifth graders to come that were working on Genius Hour projects.
Okay.
Clyde is a second grade, is about to come this next week. And we have it scheduled for a couple of people through into August, actually.
Oh, wow.
So what we like to do is use it as an extension of learning.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing we want is for it just to be a, hey, it's a field trip, let's go. And then there's nothing there's nothing necessarily that... Now, the kids need playtime.
Sure.
We'll spend at least an hour with kids letting them play and showing them everything we have.
Mm-hmm.
But for both of those classes that I just mentioned, both Merkel and Claude, I went and actually met with the teacher and the students to talk about what they were learning,
mm-hmm.
to show them the things that are available in the space, and to ask them to start brainstorming now about, okay, if you came here, mm-hmm. what can we do to help your learning? So right now, Clyde's second graders are working on natural habitats for animals.
Okay.
And they have been building out of construction paper and out of Play-Doh. And so we do have a lot of that crafting things. We have items like styrofoam and cardboard and Play-Doh and craft paint and mm-hmm. things that kids can still get messy with. One of the kids asked me, do you have glue sticks? I said, I have glue sticks, hot glue, and Elmer's glue. And
wow.
He got really excited about that. So we do have other things to use as far as that particular moment goes, but we are 3D printing the animals that go in there.
Oh, cool.
Natural habitats, and then they are actually writing commercials and scripts that we'll be filming for them as a part of their showcase for their parents.
Nice.
And the second graders are very excited.
That is one thing that... I didn't really understand. Well, I didn't know about makerspaces until, I guess it was a couple of years ago at TCEA. You know, I'd always heard of 3D printers and all these cool, you know, devices and stuff. But a maker lab can also be low tech as well. It's all, you can mean, you know, popsicle sticks and glue and
we
it's
like to
all
say,
about creating something.
Yes, we like to say that it's low tech, no tech, and my tech.
Mm-hmm.
So... and high tech, obviously.
Sure.
So there's all the gamuts, and sometimes it's what you bring in that you want to add to. That's the MyTech piece. The low tech and no tech are pretty obvious. And then, of course, the high tech we already have. We do have a room that we call the Robotics Shop. Now, a little caveat here. We are an education service center, and my current executive director has created a culture that says we are all about service. In fact, he says service is our middle name,
mm-hmm.
Education Service Center. So one of the things we realized is if we wanted to promote service, it would be kind of cool to have this thematic moment with mm-hmm. our makerspace because there's some lot of cool things, but you can put them in a regular classroom and they don't get used very much.
Sure.
So one of the things we wanted to do to help spawn that creative environment and to talk about flexible spaces and to talk about a space that had purpose was to create an old-fashioned service station.
Okay.
And we call it the Full Service Innovation and Learning Space. Just to help people thematically wrap themselves around that concept. And it's been kind of fun to be able to plan around a car theme.
Sure.
And so the garage is a place to get messy.
Mm-hmm.
And in our garage is where we have all that crafting stuff, and we don't mind it getting messy.
Right.
And they know that's what happens in a garage. We fix things. It's been fun explaining to little kids what a service station is, because they've never seen one.
Right.
They want to know, why doesn't somebody still pump the gas for my mom? That would have been really cool. But we have the Roboti shop.
Okay.
And in our Roboti shop, we have drones, and we have coding concepts, and we have robots that are simple for a pre-K kid, like an Ozobot or a Cubetto, which doesn't even require any kind of technology in their hand.
Mm-hmm.
To help them understand sequencing and patterning, all the way up to, we have the Raspberry Pi Canna Kit and the Microbits in there, and the flying drones and the jumping drones, so that they get that gamut of experience. And you would be surprised that those little kids, just a small amount of instruction, and they're ready to fly and go. So that's fun too, to add to it.
Has that been, I'll see, how can I phrase this? The kind of the maker culture, I would think, there may be some teachers out there that's very intimidating to them, because, you know, as a teacher, you want to feel like you know everything. But when you get into those kind of maker spaces, you know, you won't know. They may see that as kind of a intimidating or a daunting task.
Absolutely.
Maybe they don't know all the machines, or they don't know how to do everything, but that's kind of the point, because it's not about the teacher. It's about the kids being creative. How do you work with teachers to get them comfortable not being comfortable?
You know what? That's one of the things that I can totally attest to, having been that teacher, that when I, quote, learned how to teach,
mm-hmm.
I needed to be the giver of all knowledge. If they asked me a question, I had to have an answer.
Right.
And I had to have it for a good reason. The internet really wasn't that that popular of a thing
right.
yet. But we have a culture of students and kids that have grown up with Google at their fingertips.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't need teachers in the same way that I needed to teach. And yet many of our teachers who have been practicing and doing a very good job as a teacher, are used to that culture of, if I don't know how to do this, I can't put it out in front of my students.
Okay.
And so in all of the aspects of what we do at the Service Center, in my realm of being a digital innovation consultant, is to try to help teachers let go and understand what student-centered instruction can look like. And this is a great way for them to experience it. And one of the reasons we wanted to put an on-site makerspace concept at the Service Center was so that during those workshop moments, teachers themselves could experience it,
mm-hmm.
and feel the difference in direct instruction versus a student-centered moment. Now, you guys got to come out and experience a little bit of that, where I definitely still guided the learning moment for, this is what I'm asking you to do.
Sure.
But how you do it,
mm-hmm.
is up to you.
Right.
And I think the teachers have been in awe of the fact that their students have taken over. I mean, the kids aren't afraid to touch anything.
Mm-hmm.
We have a clear touch screen plasma environment for our kids that's an interactive board in the garage. And most of our kids may have been exposed to a Promethean or to a smart board, but the fact that they can go up there and start making notes and doing things, they just do it, and they're 8 years old.
Right.
And the teacher's like, nobody show them what to do. What are they doing? And and I'm like, it's okay. They're supposed to be able to touch it.
Right.
But when they see that moment, it kind of gives them a little bit of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the fact that we tell them, you're not going to be there by yourself. I'm there.
Right.
I have a coworker, Britt Persley, who works in there a lot with me as well. And knowing they don't have to do this alone,
sure.
helps. The teachers that I know of that have jumped off the deep end, so to speak, and tried to do a maker environment, whether it's in their classroom, a little corner of the room, mm-hmm. where the kids get to go and just almost like the old-fashioned centers, they start small with the
sure.
glue and the tape, have seen a lot of students coming to them and tying it to their learning. Hey, can I use that to do what we're doing in math?
Yeah.
And it's that moment of, oh, I didn't think about that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's exciting. And you never know. I have a fifth grade teacher who was given a bunch of the old doll patterns from when I was a little girl. You could cut out a pattern of a doll, and you would stuff it like kind of like a Raggedy Ann, put stuffing in it and sew it together. And she put some of those patterns, and she said, even my little boys wanted to say, well, how do I sew? And they were learning how to do stitches with really big needles. And we learned how to sew on a button. And now they're all wanting to make little pillows and things to give to teachers down the hall. And
oh, cool.
She said, who knew that the sewing stuff would be such a huge moment
mm-hmm.
in this little maker culture?
So why do you think there's been this, because some of the stuff that we're talking about, you know, especially working with your hands or creating something or like sewing or whatever, you know, a few decades ago, you know, that was just something that people learned. Yeah. You had to learn how to do this stuff, but it seems like we've kind of gotten away from that. And with our kids now, it's all about, you know, learning how to memorize and take a test, you know. So it almost just seems like, yeah, there is some high tech and some new technology in there, but we're just getting back to creating things with your hands and thinking of something in your head and then making it a reality. Why do you think there's that pendulum is swinging back?
That's a great way to put it. My brain was going with the pendulum moment.
Yeah.
I think one of the biggest pushes for K-12 has been that the workforce is coming back and saying these kids don't have some basic skill sets we think they need.
Right.
And some of those skill sets include, back to those four C's, but critical thinking and being able to problem solve.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really hard to get problem solving practice if you're just filling in the worksheet.
Right.
And so when you're faced with some hands-on things, well, I can't make this stick together the way I thought it was going to.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. Is there a better way?
Yeah.
And the problem solving is a natural byproduct of the creativity that comes from making.
Okay. I could see that. And a big, you know, just getting that a little bit of experience with, I mean, even just kind of basic engineering. I remember, saw somewhere in the newspaper or something talking about how there's a massive demand for CTE skills.
Yes.
And how that those, you know, wood shop and metalworking, all those are coming back mm-hmm. with a vengeance, you know, because these kids are learning skills that you can go out and start making a good living with. I mean, plumbers are killing it.
Right.
I wish I'd have gone on. What are they, a journeyman? No, wait. What's a plumber's apprentice?
Yeah.
Is that with the broom and the hat?
I don't know what they're called.
Oh, okay.
But they probably make more than we do.
Well, and I know a few years ago, I was talking with the tech director at Clyde ISD the other day because we had done a joint STEAM camp for kids.
Now, that's STEM with arts,
with
right?
Art.
With art added into it.
That interests me.
Yes, and that's one of the things we want to promote our makerspace as a STEAM environment and not just STEM.
Mm-hmm.
But we were talking about, he had put a few chunks of wood and some little hammers and screwdrivers and screws and things out there, and the kids that spent on their break time just hammering.
Wow.
Putting a screw in and unscrewing it.
Mm-hmm. The ultimate fidget spinner.
The yeah. ultimate fidget spinner. We had no idea, but then you think about it, and some of them have never had that experience before.
Right.
They don't work with granddads that are doing that kind of thing, or dads mm-hmm. that are outside that much anymore. So it's a neat environment to watch because there's some skill sets that you learn just by determining. In fact, Mike and I were talking about, that's Mike Neal at Clyde, putting the posters up on different adhesives and different screws and different nails and which kinds you use with which materials.
Okay. Oh,
so
yeah.
So that the kids would know, well, there's a reason you choose this kind of adhesive because you're using fabric and not mm-hmm. paper. And there's a reason you're going to choose this kind because it's wood. And so those moments, and that's one of the things I think is one of your coworkers, Lucille, had asked me about some of the design elements that you see inside our service station motif. And I said, we got to be makers ourselves.
Right.
It was all in-house as far as ripping out walls and hanging walls and painting mm-hmm. and building tables out of car parts and pieces and building clocks and things. And so we got to experience that maker and problem-solving moment ourselves, and it really did push our creativity to another level.
Sure.
Because I hear teachers and kids say, well, I'm not creative. Well, we have that capacity, mm-hmm. but what is it that makes us think we can't utilize that capacity?
Yeah.
And people will ask me, well, how'd you get that idea? And I say, well, once I have thought through and gotten one idea, it just seems to automatically generate another idea.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you see with these kids. I know that one of the second graders I talked to last week, as I was showing the pictures of the green screen and the things we can do in the recording studio, we call that the zone,
mm-hmm.
get in the zone. He all of a sudden said to me, is that like on YouTube? Because I have a vlog. He's a second grader. He has
yeah.
a vlog.
Nice.
And he likes to make videos, but he thought about in his mind just instantly. He started brainstorming. He started talking to me something about, you know, I could make it look like I'm in the snow and I could do my same activity. And he had all these great ideas simply from one little moment.
Sure.
And I think that those aha moments come if you're given the opportunity to let them percolate.
Sure.
In an environment that is open to that.
Percolate. That's a $5 word.
I'm drinking my coffee over here from Starbucks. It just kind of came to me.
That's what you're thinking about. Now, Paul, you had a, When you were in the classroom, you had a. Did you have a 3D printer in your classroom? Yes.
I had three of them.
Oh, wow.
While I was at Wiley, I wrote a couple grants, and we had three 3D printers. And then last summer, I wrote a grant for $20,000 that I won, but I didn't realize I had won until I'd come over here to ISD.
Right.
So Wiley kind of called me and like, hey, thanks for leaving us this big grant. What are we supposed to do with it? So I went and met with one of their engineering teachers, and now they have an Epilogue laser cutter, and they have some of the resin printers, and they pretty much made their own makerspace as well.
Wow. What have you, could you give any advice, like let's say if a teacher or if a school, maybe not in Region 14, poor school, if they were wanting to do a makerspace or something like that, to start trying to do something like that, can you give them any advice as a like a good way to start versus maybe if you a bad way to start?
My, you know, the first thing I like to ask is, why do you want one?
Mm-hmm.
I do that when they want to go one-to-one and they think they have to have the latest and greatest, and my big question is why?
Yeah.
Because if you first cannot articulate the purpose that you need it for, then it becomes something that we got this makerspace and now nobody goes and uses it.
Right.
We've got one-to-one devices and now nobody knows what to do with them. We carry on business as usual. And so having them to verbalize and talk through, what's our purpose?
Yeah.
Why do we think we want this? Just because it's cool?
Mm-hmm.
Or because we have a need and this is going to satisfy that need? And that was one of the things that for Region 14, I've been dreaming about it for 4 years. But it wasn't until one of our districts came to our executive director and said, how can you support my teachers if we're putting this in for them and they don't have a clue what to do yet?
Right.
Now we had a need for why we wanted to have teachers experience it and we could move forward. So I think starting with the purpose and then starting with what you have. It won't take long at all to find out. I mean, we had a low-tech makerspace a couple of years ago where I actually told the staff, sent an email out and said, empty your junk drawer into my cubicle, please. There's a box.
Right.
Whatever you got, we're going to start with.
Yeah.
So starting small, starting with what you have, and starting with asking the kids that are going to be a part of it. I know that's one of the things at the middle school at Clyde is the kids are helping design, and the junior high kids, they're trying to decide what we need and what we want in that space.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if you could, like, partner with your local hardware store.
Why not?
You could partner with Lowe's.
Lowe's has a grant.
Oh, really?
The toolbox.
Yes, they do.
It's education toolbox. And you basically write the grant, and you make an itemized list of all the junk you want, and they either say yes or no.
Wow.
And donors choose. You have a lot of people that will back things that go to a makerspace.
Okay.
Now, what you will want to your, I would say, send out stuff to your parents. Because you have parents that are skilled in some of these things
right.
that may have things to donate or may have things to contribute. I know that for us, in sending out an email to the staff saying, we're doing this car-themed space. These are all the tools and things I'm looking for. We got donations.
Well, in the garage, all that stuff in there, the vast majority of that, decoration-wise, was donated by people in the community or people that you knew.
Absolutely.
And it was amazing.
The tools, the we have the front of a car, we have the back of a truck, that type of thing. Tires that I used to make shelves out of that somebody had their kids' old car tires in their garage. They were ready to get rid of them.
Right.
Great, we'll take them.
Yeah.
So things that you're looking for. I've seen one of our districts put out an email saying, hey, we need all of the toilet paper and the paper towel inserts in the middle. We're making something.
Right.
Well, they came in droves. You know, then they had projects for a month, but asking.
And Pinterest, I'm sure, is a good
absolutely.
Resource.
Absolutely. Laura Fleming is probably the mother of making in education. She's got several books and resources out, so you can look for her things. You can do some online classes with that, with trying to decide, do I want to put projects and put some things in that are specific to certain moments in learning? And that's some of the things we've talked about as we grow. We're working on a website now so that people can reserve the cart to come to them.
Okay.
They can eat right now.
It's just by email and
call. Email Christy Gate, and I will look at a calendar date for you, but know that whenever I put it on a calendar, I will also want to come meet with you and the students beforehand, and we want to plan it. We want to plan such that it's an extension of the learning. And then bringing them in and having that moment is always fun, but to be able to go back and analyze what the learning that occurred too is also a huge moment for those teachers. And you asked earlier about how do I convince them to get out of that comfort zone. It doesn't take but one time
right.
for them to go, wow, okay, what else can we do?
Okay. What about, would you be, or do you guys have a repository or just kind of help teachers if they're wanting to check this thing out, you meet with them beforehand to help them integrate it into their lesson plan so that it makes sense and it's not just thrown out there for no reason?
Correct.
And plus two, I mean, there's so many lesson plans out there. There's no need to reinvent the wheel if it's out there. If you're trying to integrate something, I guarantee you there's a lesson plan out there for
it. And I had a teacher from Colorado City who helped us with the open house. She brought students. And they had, I remember watching a girl playing with the Makey Makey on the big screen.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a second grader. And we had gotten food from Chick-fil-A for their lunch. And all of a sudden, she's like, hey, can I have one of my chicken nuggets? I know I throw those away, but I kind of want them back. And we're like, what? She's like,
she threw away the chicken nuggets?
She had not eaten all of her chicken nuggets. I know, from Chick-fil-A. And she said, I'd like.
I would eat this.
She said, I want to see. I want to see if it conducts electricity.
Oh, yeah.
And so then she said, and I need a waffle fry. Anybody got a waffle fry I can use? Like, in her mind, she was already running with, what else can we do?
Yeah.
We have some strawbies, which are nothing but connectors for 500-something straws that we have in a bucket. And they started making their geometric shapes in three-dimensional moments. And the kids kept going and making it bigger. And the teacher switched gears and said, okay, let's talk about that. Why do you think that conducted electricity?
Right.
And then she said, okay, well, now we've been working on, and she started listing other shapes. And how many sides does this one have? Okay, put that together, count the sides. Now, how many sides did that? She started teaching while they were creating. And I think that is the kind of moments that we hope that environment inspires.
Wow. What are they called again?
Strawbies.
Strawbies?
They're little connectors. Like you know, when I was a kid, it was like Tinker Toys.
And sure.
But these
Lincoln Logs.
These are connectors that fit into straws that let them connect to each other so that you can build whatever shape you want.
So you have all kinds of stuff out there.
Oh, yes. We have we have Jenga. You know, we have the AR/VR. Like, we have some headsets and we have apps that they can use and that they can explore. But even my pre-K, the pre-K teacher that brought some pre-K kids out, they drew off, they were singing, they were learning the Itsy Bitsy Spider. They read the book, and then they started drawing off and coding the Ozobot to go along with the song, and it sped up when it down came the rain and washed the spider out.
Right.
And then it turned the corner, and then they drew the rain spout, and so as young as pre-K.
So there's no age.
No, and the kids were having a good time and not knowing that they were learning how to code.
Right.
And by the time it was over, they would say, I need to code my Ozobot.
Uh-huh. Huh.
Like the academic vocabulary was coming into play.
Right.
And that's part of the moment of when you talk to teachers that feel like this is an extra, or I don't have time for that because I've got to teach towards the star.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of this, they will realize this is helping me teach towards the star.
Right. Yeah, I guess that can be kind of a buzzkill if you get too focused on the star test and you feel like you're trapped in this box, and if you don't, you know, cover every single thing and get all those boxes ticked, that, you know.
Yeah, brainstorming with a teacher who said, well, why couldn't an experience and the makerspace concept be a benchmark for me?
Well, and usually a lot of those things.
Why not?
I mean, it pulls in all, it's more than just playing with the one thing. It'll pull in all other kinds of connective tissues.
Yeah.
And it, I mean, it's the same kind of deal with kind of like with project-based learning. If you design it correctly, you can hit a lot of things in one swipe.
That's right.
As opposed to, you know, like you're saying, worksheets and all that kind of stuff.
Well, and the kids will point out to you what they've learned without you having to ask.
Right.
They'll start saying, hey, did you know we did this, then we did this? And in my mind, the teacher and me starts checking off the standards. And then you got that covered and that covered and that covered. Yes.
What are the kids, well, I mean, I guess it just depends, but what do they tend to gravitate towards? Or what have you seen so far? Like, what
anything
are they...
that they've not had experience with before.
Okay.
Which is so very interesting to me. If they've never seen a 3D printer, they could watch it for 5 or 10 minutes, even though their attention span is nothing in the classroom.
Right.
Just to see what's happening. If they've never played with the touch screen board, they want to touch the board. But we have little boogie boards, which are like the old Etch-a-Sketch moment where you can take notes and you can clear the board by pushing a button.
Okay.
There are kids that will draw pictures for 20 minutes and clear the board.
Right.
So
that's kind of part of the play.
Part of the play.
But the problem is, I guess, is that in some situations, like let's say a school buys this stuff and they never get past the play time. And it's like, well, just because you have a 3D printer and, okay, everybody, we're going to go down and print a duck, you know, well, that doesn't...
Then what?
Yeah, so
you've got to... Because why?
Yeah, because why? So I guess that could be another hurdle is, you know, if you're going to utilize this stuff.
That's part of the beauty of the planning process with the teacher first.
Right.
Because these kids have not played yet, but in their mind, they're already preparing for their commercials and what they're going to do, and they know that they only have this much time when they get there. So I think one of the things that they're going to want to play, but then they're going to want to get started because they brought stuff with them.
So they're showing up with something to...
Oh, yes. The Merkel kids came ready to make some slime because it was part of their project they were working on.
Okay.
Well, I didn't have the ingredients for their slime, but they brought them.
Nice.
And they got messy in the garage and did what they needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another part that comes from planning it as an instructional extension.
So when you have people, people are scheduled to come in, I know since February, I guess, is when it's really started. Is there a certain amount of time that you're like, you really need to chunk off this much time to make it? Or does it just depend on what they're trying to accomplish and that's what you figure out during your meeting?
Probably depend upon the grade level too. But here's a reality moment. If the kids are going to get to school at 8 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
by the time you check roll and get the bus loaded, et cetera, get on the bus at 8:30, depending on how far away from us you are,
mm-hmm.
then you're not getting started to play time till about 9 or 9:30. Then you play till 10:30. You're going to work for an hour or so. Then we're going to eat lunch somewhere.
Right.
Then we're going to come back, and we only have like an hour and a half before we got to load the bus to get back in time to catch the bus to go home.
Right.
So one of the things to talk to teachers through is, yes, it's an all-day thing, but it's about 3 hours of time to really do something.
Okay.
And that helps them wrap their mind around planning. How much time do you have in your classroom to do this normally?
Right.
And kids are... I mean, they listen to me. Of course, I'm kind of fun when I go because I'm the guest speaker for the day. You know, sure. I'm this random person that they behave for me. I don't have the issue. And the teacher's like, "What's up with that?"
Yeah, they're always on their best behavior. So I guess it just depends on what they're trying to do. Maybe it would be best in some situations for you to go to them as opposed to them try to get all the kids in town.
And so that's a good point. It's a 1,600 square foot building that was designed much like a house.
Right.
We don't have space for more than about 16 kids or so with the adults that help them at any one time. So we have had teachers that we've talked through, okay, you have to divide it up though. These kids get to come this part of the day. These kids come to this part of the day. Or start your project here and you finish it there. Or start it and all you're doing is the final touches when you come here. Mm-hmm. Or how is this going to look? Because physically, some of you, and you guys experienced that too, some of you may be over in the main building and that's not nearly as fun.
Right. Well, we had a good time in our little room. But yeah, that was, because we crammed a lot into...
About 3 hours.
Yeah. And that was pretty, that was a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it was.
We nailed it though. I feel pretty good about what we did. Who all's on your team over there that you're, I guess, in the makerspace? Does different people have different areas of expertise, or is everyone just kind of all hands in?
That's one of the things that we have become is an all hands in. The department that I happen to be housed under is technology, and so my boss, Rob McClellan, is the one that has helped. He has the purse strings that's able to say, yes, go forward, or you can purchase that, or you can't purchase that, et cetera. And he... Luckily for all of us, is very adept at carpentry.
Oh, wow.
And using all kinds of tools. He's got tons of them. He shared.
Right.
And so it falls under our component. But everything we want to do is with the entire service center. So we have had the early childhood and the Head Start people to come out and look and said, okay, what do you need? You want blocks? You want stuff? What do you want to put out here that will help you? Worked really a lot with the special education component. They helped buy us some of our coding things because they can use them in what they do with special ed students. And so they chose some things. In fact, they bought the resin printer for us.
Oh, wow.
Worked a lot with the curriculum people. And so like Sean Schleter in science helped put together, he bought part of the One Button Studio and helped hang the lights and get things going. So it's really a concerted effort on everyone at the service center. You can go, like I say, go through me to reserve and to get things set up. We are working on badging our own employees so that they feel confident without me being there if they need to do things, and working them through a badging system.
We've been talking about doing that here, maybe like in the, like, especially if we get the whole one-to-one thing rolling. We saw that TCA the other year about a lot of districts having success with a badging program. I mean, it seems silly, but people like
they like
to win things.
Okay, I was a brownie for like 1 year, and I'm like, yeah, this doesn't do it for me. I don't need a patch, but it does it for a lot of people, and for us, it's an organizational way of figuring out whether or not we feel comfortable with them running the 3D printer.
Right.
Or running the one button studio, or sharing it with their work in their workshops if I can't be there.
Right.
Because we can't all always be there. Britt Pursley is my title is digital innovation consultant. He is instructional technology. So we have separation on what we actually do. Mm-hmm. But he does a lot of help, you know, for me. I'll say, hey, I need these files printed. He goes out there and he's all about it. He's right now he's probably the one setting up the Glowforge, getting that going for us. So
so that just arrived today, you said?
I think it arrived probably Thursday, and then, you know, we weren't here on Friday, and yes.
That's pretty cool. Is that the one, is it like the one that ACU has?
Is it similar? It is a desktop model.
Okay.
Which this is really cool. Okay, this is what sold me. The first, I'd been watching it. It's been back ordered. It was one of those Kickstarter kind of concepts. Okay. And then a friend in California, they got one, and she sent some information. She said, okay, y'all, I'm really loving this. And they had embossed, engraved, whatever you want to call it, their principal or building leader's head on Pop-Tarts for kids.
Oh, wow.
It's like any material you want to stick in there.
Oh, I want to do that.
So
I want to make a Pop-Tart with you on it, Paul.
Wouldn't that be fun?
I mean, I am pretty sweet.
Oh,
but at the same time, you guys are going one-to-one. It will
in theory.
It will etch on top of that laptop. It recognizes what model and what it is when you stick it in there, and it would etch your logo in there.
Oh, wow.
So it
I wonder if that would void any kind of warranty.
You can have a your kid drawing a picture of something they really like a lot, and you can clean it up a little bit, and then you can stick it in there, and it will. You can make 8 copies of the same thing on plastic.
Yeah, and so they can, it takes numerous file types, I guess.
And it's multiple materials that it will actually be able to to utilize.
That would be cool. We should get one of those.
And guess what? Y'all can come use ours.
You're in Region 14. The best region ever. I keep forgetting that we can just go over there and use it.
Yes, and I say that for years now, we have allowed people to send us files to print.
Okay.
And I love it when a kid has made a file and I print it and it's all messed up and I send it back. I don't help them. Here you go. Here's what printed.
Okay.
Wait, that's not what I thought was supposed to happen. Why did it do that? I don't know. You better fix your file.
That's what would happen in the real world.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah, that's right.
That's true.
Of course, you know, what is it? Garbage in, garbage out. So another programming tie-in.
And what's cool, I know that like Paint Creek is one of our smallest districts, but a couple of years ago we had a student who designed a picture frame for prom favors, and we printed all their picture frames for all the seniors.
Oh, wow.
We have printed, I know Brenda Lee works with our visually impaired students, and we've printed, they take them fishing. So we've printed fish that they actually can feel, almost like what a scale would feel like, and then we put like baby oil on it, and they can feel what it's slippery and slimy. Ugh. So before they go, they get to have that experience to know what's about to happen. And those are the kind of things that has made having a 3D printer worth it.
Right.
It's not just printing to have something to sit on your desk.
Right.
Paper holder.
Or to burn Pop-Tarts with.
Yeah.
Which just sounds like fun to me.
I would do it.
I would totally do it. Is there any, are there any districts right now in the region that you want to give a shout out to that are doing awesome things maker-wise, or that are really taking the bull by the horns?
So maker-wise, I know that there are several at Clyde. Their high school has one. They're working on one in the junior high middle school. I know Highland is working on one in their elementary. Mm-hmm. I know that Albany, that's the one who got us started. It's their superintendent who came to us and said, what are you going to do? So they have a room dedicated to making their high school different, where almost any core area can go in and out of the maker space area to work on things for their content.
Yeah.
And I know that, oh, goodness, I'm probably some places here in Abilene are working on one, I would think.
Yeah. I know that, well, there's a maker lab at Abilene High. I don't know if any one person.
Does Adams have one?
The whole place is a maker lab. What are you talking about, man?
Adams is a STEM school. And then I think Merkle has a little maker concept going on at the high school.
I don't know if Cooper has any maker. I know there's one at Abilene High. I don't know who is, if there's any one person heading it up, or if it's just kind of, a lot of times I think the whoever the LRC associate or whoever's in charge of the LRC is kind of the maker
Yeah, it's interesting.
Joint effort.
Just like the librarian moment turned into the media moment,
right,
turned into the maker moment.
It's like the Swiss Army knife.
There
of
are
jobs.
Still books in the library, I promise.
So, what's next for you guys out at Region 14? You're just going to keep trying to promote and get.
You know what? That's the beauty of it. We never really know what's happening next. We do know our executive director is retiring.
Oh, wow.
So this summer we will be having a new leader of the pack. So we have no idea what initiatives the new person will bring in.
Is that going to be you?
No. No, but that will be exciting for us to see what initiatives that person brings in before we roll out too many new ideas.
Okay, so yeah, you've got enough now. You're going to just kind of roll with it.
We are promoting coding. We are promoting computer science, mm-hmm. getting people certified. And how does that tie into all content areas, not just a computer science
classroom? What certifications are you guys?
Well, I got my computer science certification last May.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. And the state rolled it out to as many people as possible. We want as many certified. And so we got a grant. And so we were able to get several people certified across the region. And I think they're rolling that through again.
Wow.
I am a Raspberry Pi certified educator. Got to do that in Idaho last year.
I want to get some of these.
So we are going to be offering, Sean Schleter and I both got to do that. And so we are offering a Raspberry Pi Academy this summer, helping teachers understand that concept. And so slowly rolling out to where there's back to that comfort zone. A lot of teachers have the tunnel vision of that coding doesn't apply to me in what I teach.
Sure.
But you know what? Coding in ELA is going to be great.
Right.
Let's talk about it. Mm-hmm. You know, those are the things we're excited about doing is helping to shift that mindset. And the maker environment just adds to that.
Is that Raspberry Pi workshop up on the website and everything?
It will be when I'm not sure if it's opens this yet. Week.
Okay.
Maybe or next week, but it will be.
Yeah, you guys have been helping us getting everybody Google certified.
Yes.
I myself am level 2 certified. Did you know that, Paul?
I did. I only dreamed to be as good as you.
That's right. I got it. As soon as I got it, I printed up on our poster printer, and it's in my office.
As many as we can get across our region, we want to get certified. All 42 of the school districts, including Abilene, are G Suite for Education.
Right.
And the beauty behind the certification, we're big in the state of Texas on industry certifications. The Google certifications are worldwide recognized.
Mm-hmm.
Every educator across the world who has that certification has had to go through the same concepts to earn it from Google. And so that's important. It goes with you whatever district you happen to go to and whatever state you happen to be in and whatever country you happen to be in.
Right.
And it allows you to have a better understanding of how Google's tools aren't just a standalone tool, but can actually enhance the learning environment in the classroom.
So you're going to have some of those this summer?
We will be offering level 1 and level 2 this summer as well.
When does your summer schedule become?
I'm not positive how it's set up to go live.
Okay.
But I believe that it goes live this month so the teachers can start registering. And so, yes, I will be offering level 1 and level 2. And then for those who already are level 2, Brandon? Who will actually want to go for the certified trainer.
Yeah.
I'll be working on helping you get to your certified trainer level.
And then we can train teachers in ourselves, yes? Is
yes.
that what that means?
Absolutely. Certified okay. trainer gives you access to Google resources before anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Google lets you beta test products, which has been great for me to see if I think my districts would utilize something. And you get a repository of resources like 6,000 pre-designed content resources to help do your trainings. And then you have a Google group that is filled with the trainers from around the globe who ask each other questions all the time, day in and day out, to say, hey, how can I fix this? Or this is happening in my district. Or how can I help promote this in a classroom? And that's been a great resource for me. And so we would love to have, we do have a principal. The principal in Roby High School. Jason Carter is now a certified trainer, so he's gone through level 1, level 2 in trainer certification. So I'm really proud
Falling
of him.
Behind.
Seriously.
But that's important when you have an actual administrator that's leading those initiatives.
Oh, that's the biggest
thing.
And
helping those teachers and modeling.
We know that from just our job with instructional technology. If the buy-in isn't coming from the top, then
absolutely
we can't get anything off the ground.
Absolutely.
But, you know.
And
once
we
go one-to-one, it'll be on your T-test evaluation, so you better do it.
We would love to help administrators with the maker concept, with the Google concept, with the coding concept, because all of these things are only done to make things more efficient on the job.
Right.
And people ask me all the time, what's in your title? Well, digital innovation consultant means a whole lot of nothing to some people.
Right.
But the reality is everything I get to try to do is to do something new and better.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not new, it's not necessarily innovative. If it's not better, it's not innovative.
Right.
If you try something, it doesn't work for you. That wasn't innovative practice in your classroom. Get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
But just because it wasn't innovative for you doesn't mean it's not innovative for the teacher next door.
Sure.
And so obviously testing and playing and trying to see what is something else that can be a benefit to the classroom is what we're all about. And so it's exciting, and we want to invite all of y'all to participate in anything we do.
Nice. Well, we'll make – Paul, do you have any questions?
No, I think it's all been covered.
I think
it's
we've covered it. Yeah, it's a lot of good info. We'll in the description, we'll put a link to Region 14.
Okay.
Your email address.
Absolutely.
Is that okay?
Absolutely.
And then, yeah. So everybody, maybe we'll put in, or what was that one gal you were talking about? We could put a link to her website. The maker.
Laura Fleming.
Yeah. We'll put that in there for you guys to check out. So summer is just around the corner. So be checking out that Region 14 website for the summer calendar of all the good fun learning you can do.
And I'll put a tiny plug in. I don't know if this goes up anytime soon, but on Thursday of this week from 3 to 7 p.m. at mm-hmm. the ACU Maker, it's free admission to come and make and explore. And we love Darren and what he's doing there, so we
right.
want to promote that. And if you haven't gotten it already, I'll give you the free tickets that your people can print off.
Ooh, very nice. Mm-hmm. I always like free stuff.
Yes.
Do you have to bring my own Pop-Tarts, or will they have Pop-Tarts
there? They have popcorn, and it's free.
I wanted to burn some Pop-Tarts. All right. Well, Christy, thank you so much for coming and talking with us today. And I'm sure we'll all be at Region 14 in one way or another over this summer. I want to get my certification. We've got to get you level 2, bro.
I know. I've got to step my game up.
Yeah.
He's got it. He's got it.
I already signed up for the one that's in a couple weeks. In
awesome.
I think it's in May.
Awesome.
Which one is that?
Level 2.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm chasing.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time. Bye.
Bye.